Welcome to the second week of our series called Miracles at Midnight. The Christmas season is a time when light shines through the darkness. Everywhere you look this time of year, holiday lights are twinkling and glimmering from trees on trees, from shops and people's homes. There's a kind of brightness and radiance that takes over when dusk comes across the land. It's quite beautiful. You can see it right here on our own campus if you drive through here one night. It's very beautiful, but it's also a sign, a symbol that God does his best work in the dark. Just when the night feels longest at the midnight hour, that's when his light suddenly breaks through. That's when he illuminates our darkest moments with the hope and promise of his greatest miracles, just as he did 2,000 years ago when Christ was born at the midnight hour. Last week, we talked about when you're walking in the darkness, how important it is to keep looking for something called the inflection point, that moment when things begin to turn around for the better. You move from struggle to strength, from just surviving to thriving, from setback to comeback, from dark to light. The key, we said, is to start walking in the light even before the sun comes up, while it's still dark outside, to start trusting in the bright future God is already preparing for you, even in the middle of your present darkness. When you live like it's already dawn, then your inflection point will come. Your miracle will be set into motion. The dawn will suddenly and finally begin to break. Today, I want to talk with you about make room for the light. Scripture says Jesus is the light of the world, and the season of Advent is a time when we wait in darkness for that light to come. The gospel story today points the way to that light. A man named John the Baptist started preaching way out in the desert across the Jordan River. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah long ago had spoken and said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John was reminding the people how important it was to prepare for the Lord, to make room for the light to come. He was the voice crying out at the midnight hour, "Get up, get ready, make room, the light is coming." He went on to say, "The one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals." He was speaking of Jesus, the light of the world who was on the way. The times were dark and difficult for God's people. They were suffering under the heavy hand of Roman occupation and oppression. Their land had been divided. Their leaders were corrupt. Their hopes for a savior were fading fast. For 400 years, God had been silent. Not a single prophet, no new prophet to guide them, no new revelation to encourage them, just silence. And into that silence, in that long night of waiting, the voice of John the Baptist finally cried out. It was a spark in the darkness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Here's something I find interesting. Scientists tell us that light travels fastest through empty space. When there's nothing in its way, nothing to block the light, no air, no particles, no resistance, it moves at its highest possible speed. It doesn't slow down, it doesn't get stuck, it doesn't struggle to shine, it just flows. But when light hits something like dust or water, it gets bogged down. It bends, it scatters, it loses some of its clarity. The denser the material, the harder it is for the light to get through. This is why John the Baptist talked about repentance in the gospel today. It wasn't about guilt. It was about making space for grace, making room for the light to shine through our darkness. Repentance can mean turning away from bad habits that hold you back. Sometimes it means changing a negative mindset that keeps you stuck. Other times it means letting go of pride and anger and resentment that just crowd out God's peace. But whatever form it takes, repentance is what clears out the space inside of us so that the light of Christ doesn't get stuck, doesn't slow down, doesn't bend, but moves freely through us. A lot of people flocked to see John in the desert. In fact, so many people, he was so popular, it got the attention of the religious authorities back in Jerusalem. And they also came out to see what was going on. And when they arrived, John looked at them and said, "You brood of vipers." I love that line. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance." It sounds harsh, but John knew, like dangerous snakes, those leaders carried poison inside of them. Pride, hypocrisy, jealousy, self-satisfaction. They didn't think they needed to repent or change their ways. In fact, they saw themselves as models of holiness, but John saw right through that facade. He knew they needed to make room for the light just like everyone else. Jesus once said, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." This is why when John told those religious leaders to produce good fruit, he was telling them to turn those bad trees growing inside of them into good trees, remove the arrogance, the presumption, the self-importance, to make room for the light by removing whatever blocks its way. Every day, you have a choice. You can choose to hold on to the old hurts, live offended, keep thinking about all those injustices you've suffered, the people who did you wrong, the friends who walked away. You can relive those disappointments day after day. You can get angry, jealous, prideful like those religious leaders in today's gospel. Maybe you lost your job at some point, didn't seem fair. After all those years of the good work you did for the corporation, never turning off your phone, answering at all hours of the day and night, always trying to be of help, they just let you go. Or maybe there's a friend, a so-called friend, or a family member who's gossiping about you, spreading lies, saying untrue things. Maybe you feel taken for granted in your marriage. You're not getting what you deserve from the relationship. And you can stay angry, bitter, keep that chip on your shoulder, replay the unfairness in your mind over and over again. But let me tell you, that just blocks the light. Instead, you can choose to let it go. Forgive the wrongs. Keep being your best self, even when others are unkind and hurtful. You can move past the bad breaks, what wasn't fair. Find that turning point deep inside of you where you just know that it's not going to help to hold on to the unforgiveness, the resentment, all those grudges. That's how you allow a good tree to grow in you, the kind of tree that will produce good fruit. It's what clears out the right kind of space for reconciliation and growth and peace. It's what allows and makes room for the light to come into your heart and shine through you. In today's first reading, the people of Israel were walking, living in dark times. The powerful empire of Assyria had taken control. Their country was hanging on by a thread. Gone were the glory days of King David, when peace and justice flourished, when people felt safe in their own homes. The royal line of David that God had promised would never come to an end, would last forever, had been reduced to a mere shadow of its former self, a puppet king for Assyria, a once mighty tree cut down to just a stump. The people truly were walking in a land of gloom. The light had definitely faded, but into that darkness, Isaiah spoke words of hope, told of better days to come. He said a shoot would sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud would blossom, a bud would blossom. Jesse was the father of King David. Isaiah was saying that out of the ruin of the monarchy, David's monarchy, his line, would come new growth. Out of death would emerge new life. Into the darkness, God would send his light. A new king coming forth from the line of David. A seed of greatness sprouting, not from power and politics, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And this king would be known for his wisdom, his understanding, his counsel, his courage and strength, his knowledge and fear of the Lord. He would be fair and impartial. He would care for the poor. His kingdom would be marked forever by justice and faithfulness to God. His reign would bring forth a new world of lasting peace, the kind of world where lambs and wolves can live together, the kind of world where leopards can hang out with young goats, the kind of world where cows and bears can graze together in peace, the kind of world where children can play safely anywhere, even near where dangerous snakes live. God said that when all this happens, there shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain. Why? Because the King, the Messiah, the Christ, the Prince of Peace will have come to rule the world. Centuries later, the Apostle Paul wrote that this miracle had already begun, that people who had been enemies and strangers were now starting to live together in harmony, Jews and Gentiles who would never, ever sit down at the same table and eat, were coming together, worshiping God side by side, welcoming each other as friends in Christ. Paul could see God's plan coming together, and he wanted to encourage his people to keep going. So he said, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another, in keeping with Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul was reminding his people that when you live in unity, you shine God's light into the world. It's a miracle at midnight, because peace isn't the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of Christ. And when you choose to forgive instead of holding on to grudges, to refuse to gossip, even when others do the same to you, when you bless those who have hurt you, you're preparing a place for Jesus in your heart. You're clearing out all that clutter of the interference of pride and resentment, and you're making room for the light to move in. I heard this story about a miracle on Christmas Eve, 1944. It was the darkest night of the Battle of the Bulge during World War II. Snow was falling heavy in the Ardennes forest. There was fighting all around. A young German mother and her 12-year-old son were wandering in the woods when it all happened, when the fighting broke out, and so they took shelter in a tiny hunting cabin, just hoping to survive the night. Soon came a knock on the door. It was three American soldiers, lost in the woods, freezing in the dark, one of them bleeding from battle. They didn't speak German, but she knew what they needed. But she also understood the risks. If discovered, harboring the enemy would mean certain death. But she also knew it was Christmas Eve, and those men standing on her doorstep were not enemies. They were God's children in need. So she let them in. A while later came another knock at the door. This time it was four German soldiers. Her heart froze. She panicked. She had Americans inside. It was a setup for disaster. But she did the only thing she could in that moment. She opened the door and she said, "You can come in, but there will be no fighting or shooting because tonight is Christmas Eve." And then a miracle happened. Those German soldiers stacked their weapons outside the door, stepped into the candlelight, and shared a meal with the American soldiers. One of the Germans was in medical school and even tended to the wounded American. In that night, in the middle of war, peace broke through. For a few precious hours, the war stopped. Enemies became brothers. The darkness gave way because those soldiers chose to make room for the light. I wonder if some of you might be in some kind of war right now. Maybe a coworker or someone who keeps spreading rumors, or a boss who's constantly critical, or a friend who just suddenly turned his back on you for no good reason, you don't know why, or maybe a neighbor who is suing you. Whatever it is, when you choose to love and forgive, when you're willing to reconcile and start over again, when you're willing to live according to Isaiah's vision, like those Jews and Gentiles in Paul's letter, like those soldiers on Christmas Eve, that's when dawn comes. That's when the light breaks into the world like a tiny baby born in the midnight hour in a manger. When you speak peace into your relationships, you're making room for God's miracles to happen. You're making room for the light to come. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the presence of Christ. And when his peace fills your heart, your miracle at midnight will begin to shine.